Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast.
Podcast.
I am the great and powerful Mystery.
And I am your favorite J clone 58. The special one.
Woo! Today we're going to do a heavy hitter. Are you ready? It's been a while since we've done
a heavy hitter.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of podcasts like mass recorded. So everybody notices over the next, I'm mixing this one in the middle of those. So it doesn't, like, you can't tell that, like, how tired we're getting, because I think it's the very last one is, I listened to it editing and, like, you could tell.
I'm
tired.
Yes.
Just reading.
This is a taxing experience.
Well, we did it because the babies are going to come any day now. They've been trying to come since 26 weeks, and we're now, as of recording this, at 33 weeks, working on 34 weeks.
All right.
So Emily's done an amazing job of keeping them in there. The hospital's done amazing work. Start getting the bills, and it is crazy.
I wonder how much the corks are going to cost.
A lot.
Oh, gosh.
More than my entire education.
I say it's a ripoff. It's a scam.
Which thing?
All a scam. The funding and cost of
hospitals?
Yes.
Maybe listen to DW for that one.
Yeah.
Check out DW Podcast, a podcast we help produce.
That's right.
About conspiracies. And DW Conspiracy Check is what it's called. And then Freaky Fauna Fridays, which is Mr. E's, one of his favorites, because
it's one of mine too.
It's just we take 15, 20 minutes to cover a freak of nature that we love so dear.
Yeah, you know, nature's wonderful.
I think we've been doing it for over a year. Both of those has been being produced for over a year.
Yeah, Freaky Fauna is longer, I think.
They came out the same week.
Did they really?
Yep.
Wow, okay.
So the funny thing is, I think anybody that's listened to Freaky Fauna for a long time has figured out that pretty much every animal is a freak.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yep.
We use freak as a good way. But today's going to be a heavy-hitting episode. So we're going to do the Pascagoula incident.
Ooh.
Or the Pascagoula abduction.
Okay.
Now I'm ready to watch J Clone, what was it, 58?
Yeah, favorite.
I'm ready to see one rattle out about how, oh yeah, no, that happened to me. I seen a 9-foot-tall, elephant-skinned, crab-clawed man one time, and I just thought it was a guy in a costume.
Wait, what'd you say?
Yeah.
We're going to talk. I haven't seen any of that.
You've seen these aliens at conferences. You've seen, like, people drawing of it. Like, you probably don't know what it was.
Hmm.
but they have the three horns on their head and then the big crab claws and the elephant skin.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that
yet. Yes, you have.
Or maybe I have. I guess I haven't recognized it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is a really crazy famous. And I think why this case is so famous, we're going to talk about the police tapes. Ooh. But visions of like the world ending, all kinds of crazy stuff. The Pascagoula abduction. The lives turned upside down of two men. We're going to take Jake Carter's article first.
Okay.
And it breaks down the story really well, and I liked how he did it. On one evening, Calvin Parker, 19, and Charles Hickson, 42, sat in their favorite fishing spot near an old shipyard. Hickson had just caught a fish, and they both heard a weird zipping sound coming from behind them. Then it landed in the clearing about 35 yards behind them. Bless you. Turning around, they saw a 30-foot-long football-shaped object with two oblong portholes. Suddenly, the door opened. A bright white light streamed out. Seconds later, three 5-foot-tall figures glided from the craft and floated towards the men, frightening the two fishermen. I want to break this down. So I just said a lot really fast.
Yeah.
But no, there's a lot happened. So they both worked together. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was at a steel yard they both worked.
Okay.
Hickson, 42, and Parker, 19. Charles and Calvin. So they were going fishing. They were kind of not supposed to be where they were fishing.
Okay. Restricted grounds,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, it was behind a fence. It was like private property.
Okay.
It was an abandoned shipyard.
Gotcha.
There on the river. But it was, so it was kind of, you know, I'm not saying Mr. E's fished in areas like that, but I may have seen fences, and I don't know which side I was fishing on.
Yeah.
You know, your fences are kind of weird like that. You're allowed on one side, you're not allowed on the other.
What side
am I on? I don't know. Right, yeah. I got here. How'd I get here? But no, there's a gap in the fence. This is a common fishing area. So they get down there, and they caught fish. And they hear weird sounds. And we'll come back to these weird, really weird sounds. And they see lights first up on top of the hill where the car's parked, where their truck's parked.
Okay.
First, Hickson is just pretty sure it's the cops. He's like, okay, we're not really supposed to be fishing here. You know, let's go up and talk to the cops. You know, we're not doing anything wrong. We're drinking a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're just out fishing on the river.
Okay.
So they're just like, you know, it's the cops. Let's just go talk to the cops and get this over with kind of deal. It was not the cops. This orb, this football shaped, and we'll talk about their descriptions of the UFO more later. He said football shaped is the best thing he could describe it as.
Okay.
It really wasn't shaped like a football.
It's an oblong shaped.
Yeah.
Thing.
More heavy on one side. Not quite egg level. Like not like quite like chicken egg level.
Okay.
But kind of between a chicken egg and a football.
Like those footballs that they're like cut in half and you throw them against the wall and they bounce back at you.
I don't know what you're talking about, so maybe.
Okay.
But the two portholes were off to one side.
Okay.
So that wasn't like they were evenly spaced or anything like that.
Like a flounder size.
Kind of like that. There you go. This is a giant glowing flounder.
Yeah. Atmospheric beast.
So three creatures, and I want to really go into these creatures. So they are 5 foot tall, so not very big as far as extraterrestrials go.
Okay.
They are extremely uniquely shaped. They don't have a neck. They have a big round head, three long horns coming off them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of one facing the front, back, and on the side kind of deal.
Okay.
So spaced evenly around the head. They had elephant rubbery skin. By that, I mean deep-set wrinkles. So think of, like, an elephant's trunk. So you see those deep-set wrinkles?
Yeah.
Their whole body to these creatures with that.
Okay.
Like, gray, too. Crab claws. So they had, like, giant, almost metallic pinchers. And then they had weird feet, like almost like crab feet, too. Just odd-looking creatures.
You know what you perfectly just described?
Huh.
Juvenile flounder.
No.
Oh, dang it.
Close.
Darn it, if you would have said yes.
So they start gliding from the craft and floating towards the two frightened fishermen.
Okay, floating. Not walking. Gliding.
Gliding.
So okay.
The whole time, like you're going to hear a lot about gliding. So during an interview on October 18th, 1973, Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker recount their alleged abduction by these aliens from the banks of the Pascagoula River where they were fishing. So it was instantly obvious that these figures were not human. Their odd appendages being grayish colored with wrinkled bodies and crab-like claws. Hickson said, if they had been more human in likeness, it would not have been so shocking to me.
Okay.
So he's like, we'll talk about, they kind of talked about aliens before and stuff like that. What bothered him the most is how unhuman they were like.
Right.
They were very, very freaky looking.
Like bugs.
When you look at the drawings that they did of these creatures, not even bug-like. It's really? They're very weird. So
sorry. Weird bugs.
Their heads seemed to be directly to their shoulders. No neck. And something resembling of a nose came to a point about 2 inches long. On each side of the head, about where their ears would be, there was something similar to that of a nose. So these long horn-like things coming off their head. Directly under the nose was a slight slit resembling almost that of a mouth, but not quite. Their arms are something of human arms, kind of, but long in proportion to the body. The hands resembled mittens. There were thumbs attached, like they were big mitten claws.
Right, yeah.
Their legs remained together, and the feet looked like something that of elephants' large feet. Their entire body was wrinkly, and they had grayish color. There could have been eyes, but the area above the nose were so wrinkly we couldn't tell. And I'll show you. I'll try to remember to post this. Very bad-looking things.
They look, they kind of remind me of...
Demons?
Kind of. I was going to say the from Zelda, when you're walking around, it's like the mummy-looking things. I think they're just called undead or something like that. I wish I could. I think they're just called undead. But they're like these little slow-moving zombie-looking creatures. I don't know how else to just explain them, but it's kind of what it reminds me of. Just their length, proportion, but their skin being the, I guess, the wrinkly being like the folds of the mummy layers. I don't even know what the undead are in Zelda, but it looks like those.
Yeah, not good.
No, not good at all.
So both men had the impression that these figures were actually robots.
Okay.
So, and they both, in separate, like, so we'll talk about who talked, who didn't talk, and stuff like that towards the end. They really felt like these were not living beings.
Okay.
Keep in mind, this is 1973. They had a lot of trouble putting the words together. They said they were robots, but they weren't robots. They weren't fully living beings. Like, they had... Now we talk about, like, cyborgs and synthetic organisms and stuff like that.
Yeah, because, they had stuff like that, like, in the media back then. But
keep in mind, these are two guys that were
terminology
working steel workers in Pasagula.
Right, yeah.
They weren't big sci-fi people.
Probably not reading the comics.
Or reading, not saying anything against anybody, but they weren't probably reading, up and date on the most modern scientific research at the time.
You don't think so? Where's Pasagula at? Is it Mississippi?
Sorry, yes, Mississippi. Pasagula, Mississippi. So they have Pascagoula. This is just above where the Pascagoula meets the Mississippi River.
Okay.
So Calvin Parker was so frightened he fainted. Two of the entities grabbed Hickson by the arms. The man felt himself becoming extremely paralyzed. The third picked up Parker, and together the group moved back into the craft. Hickson, who has since died, tried to explain during the 1973 interview what had happened and what he saw, including going into the craft. He says, "And they glided me into the thing. Just how you guide somebody. So they glided him in." He's like, nobody was walking, even when they were carrying Parker. Yeah. Nobody was walking.
Okay.
But it was like, they couldn't, Parker fainted. And Hickson was like, grabbed by these two things and was just being forced in. "All of us moved like we were floating through the air. When I got in there, they had me, they just kind of had me there. There was no seats, no chains. They just moved around me. I couldn't resist them. I just floated. I felt no sensation and no pain. They kept me in that position for a little while. Then they raised me back up." So they're just doing, they kept them in, this long position.
Okay.
Almost like laying down, and then they raised him up.
Okay.
Hickson also tried to describe the machine he had thought that he was using as a medical examination. So as they were laying him down, this giant machine was going over him. We'll talk about the machine. I want to read his description first before I go into it.
Okay.
Keep in mind, CAT scans and MRIs, all this stuff existed in the 70s.
Right, yeah.
This isn't
this ain't that long ago.
Yeah. So the 1973 is not that long ago.
Right.
So he's like, "No, it was not no X-ray machine," Hickson said. "There ain't no way to describe it. It looked like an eye, a real big eye. It had some kind of attachment to it. It moved. It looked like a big eye, and it went all over my body, up and down. And then they left me," Hickson answered. So best way he's describing,
Something scanning him.
It's looking him up and down. But I've heard him talk about it and stuff in reports and stuff like that. It was almost like when he's describing an eye, like an iris is what he's talking about. Not a mechanical eye. like almost like a mesh of organic and inorganic technologies.
Okay.
So, and keep in mind, the beings that abducted him were almost a mix of organic and inorganic technologies.
Yeah.
Almost. So very odd.
Okay, yeah. I got some ideas floating around.
Yeah, it's so far it's just super weird.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And then it left me. Hickson answered many questions and described the aliens as being about 5 foot tall with the single like leg, later described as two foot like appendages with two toes each. He said it had they had appearances of ears, nose, mouth, but none as features that looked human. He said he was so scared he couldn't remember if they had eyes. He couldn't remember any details about leaving the craft, only Parker's reaction. So to this, the only thing I remember is the kid, Calvin. He's just standing there, Hickson said. I'd never seen the sort of fear on a man's face as I saw on Calvin's. It took me a while to get him back to his senses. And the first thing I told him was, son, ain't nobody gonna believe this. Let's just keep this whole thing to ourselves. Mm. Well, the more I thought about it, the more I thought to let some officers know.
Probably so, a smart thing.
And we're going to dive back into this further because they start remembering stuff later about the end, you know, as abductees do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you want to say it's faking or whatever. The human brain during extreme events of trauma
will block
everything.
Yeah.
And that's why we think screen memories work, whether you think it's the government or aliens or whoever's doing screen memories. Why we think screen memories work so well is because the brain really wants to just make it all go away.
Right, and it's going to use that as
So you're helping it. Yeah. You're helping the brain justify everything.
It's kind of like the path of least resistance.
Yes.
It's going to automatically do it.
So your brain's trying to protect
itself. There, it's going to automatically bring it up.
So it took him a while. They wanted to let some officers. So Charles Hickson, however, had been in the Korean War and knew what intense fear was like. This experience, he said, was scarier than anything he had experienced.
Ooh.
He found himself in a room with white, rounded walls, floating and unable to move. They were each taken to separate rooms. Next, a bright light with the eye-shaped lens comes out of the wall and circles around his body, examining him. The ET's left for a moment. Hickson called out for his friend, but got no response. Moments later, the ET returned the floating Hickson back into his room and then outside the craft. Calvin was also there, shaking with fear. The ETs then returned to their craft and took off. As they left Hickson, receiving a strong message from a telepathic of the ETs saying, "We are peaceful. We meant you no harm." The two men raced to the police station. We'll get there. So we're going to really talk in. I have a whole thing about these messages, these telepathic messages.
Yeah.
And the guys talked about it wasn't like they were talking. It was like almost like an information dump.
Just being put in his head.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's weird. So this is probably the reason this case is held in such high regard is the police. So now we're going to go to the sheriff. To see if they were lying, the sheriff hid a tape recorder inside his desk and left the men alone. He knew if they were lying, they would probably talk about it. But when we reviewed the tapes, the men stuck to their story. Parker even broke down crying. So I want to break this down. So these guys get to the cop station.
Right.
Calvin did not want to go.
Right.
The young guy did not want to go.
The older one changed his tune. He didn't want to at first, but then he's like,
and
let's
he's
go.
Like, Hickson was worried that they were doing this to other people.
Yeah.
And Hickson was 43 at the time. Like, you know, he'd seen a lot of stuff in his life. And he's like, nobody's going to believe us. There's no point in telling. And as he's thinking, he's like, I'm worried that other people are having this happen to him. And, you know, we probably should. Just say something. And
say something, do something.
So, yeah. As they get to the police station, the cops are like, okay, yeah, right. They put him in his office with the tape recorder running. They leave. They're fully expecting. You can find these recordings now. If I remember, I'll include them in an episode. Remember, keep in mind, we actually out Ronald McDonald Studios. I am very limited on the technology I have. So what was I saying? Oh, so as they leave him, the cops are fully expecting, like, okay, these guys are going to converse with their stories, trying to get everything straight, trying to make sure that you know, they're, you know, how they're pulling us. They are freaking out. They are consoling each other. They're like, I believe it was Parker broke down, started crying, and was like, they were so freaked out about what had happened that they were, you know, it was just, you know, this really bought into the story. These tapes disappeared for a long time.
Okay.
They did resurface. You can find them. But, you know, it's to say, was the government trying to cover it up or was somebody else trying to cover it up? Men in black type beings? Okay.
Why they get buried.
Yeah. The further investigation revealed that several police officers in the area had also seen UFOs around the same time. We're going to talk about other eyewitnesses later. This case over the last couple decades has really unfolded. And I think it's more with UFOs becoming so, not mainstream, I guess mainstream, but because it's becoming more okay to talk about.
Yeah.
That I think credible eyewitnesses to this event did come forward and talk about it, and we'll talk about their stories too. Even cops had seen UFOs in the area. The case soon became a hugely famous. Both men later underwent hypnosis and lie detector tests. No evidence of hoaxing was ever found. Hickson later had further encounters involving much of his family. Hickson had stuff. Parker did not want to talk about it. It took him forever to ever really talk about anything.
Right.
He didn't want anything to do with this. He never reneged on his story. There was one reporter that said he did renege to him on the story.
But he was just more distraught than anything.
Yeah.
Because something happened to
him. I don't think he ever did renege. I think the reporter made it up to make a story.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So.
As some journalists do.
New eyewitnesses come forward from the 1973 Pascagoula alien abduction case. So a lot of, like, there's like, some really cool documentaries you can watch about this and everything. So every claimed alien abduction case is weird by default. But 1973 the abduction of Calvin Parker and Charles Hickson in Pascagoula, Mississippi is even weirder than most standards. Like I said, the two men were fishing. These three creatures came out, paralyzed them with their lobster wrinkled skin, their carrot shaped heads. So just weird. They think they were only missing for about 20 minutes.
That's what they think?
By the clocks in the car and everything like that.
Okay.
They said it felt a lot longer inside the craft, but once they were outside, it was only about 20 minutes. The story did draw international attention and became one of the most well-known alien abduction cases ever. Through the case of the investigation, some of the big guns of the UFO world brought out, with Hickson and Parker being interviewed by James Harden and J. Allen Hynek.
Oh, nice. Blue Book.
Yep. Hynek just pops into all
everywhere.
Well, especially from this much after Project Blue Book.
Yeah.
In the 70s. So this is when Hynek was full, something's happening to people.
Okay. And he flipped.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we talked about that on Patreon with the Hillsdale UFO stuff. With the swamp gas.
Which already came out, yeah.
It's something. I don't know. I don't know anymore. There's so many episodes pre-recorded. So they concluded that Parker and Hickson had a very real and frightening experience. So James Hardner and J. Allen Hynek both interviewed him and said, whatever happened to these guys is real, and it was terrifying. It really messed
really
with these
happened
guys.
To them, yeah. At least in their mind, it really happened.
Yeah, and that's all you could say at most. But, you know, like when we talk about people that we've met and stuff, like, I believe that they believe what happened to them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all you could say. While some small details changed over the course of decades, neither man ever recanted their stories. Charles Hickson passed away in 2011. At the end of his life, he maintained his story was absolutely true. Now, 46 years later, a couple from Pascagoula area has come forward claiming they too saw the craft that night, but never before went public with their testimonies for fear of ridicule, because the two guys did get, you know, poo kicked out of them in their town. They moved away. Charles moved away and stuff. They both lost their job. Like, it, you know, there's no money in this.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know where that thing came from with UFO people make it up to make money. It's, as far as I can tell, it's never happened.
Yeah, name one.
The Suttons were literally one of my daughter's middle name is Sutton.
Yeah.
Because of the Sutton family, specifically the matriarch, because she stood by her word the whole time, you know,
standing strong.
It's just, they never made any money. They charged people to park on their grass one time because people were destroying their house.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, just to me. Okay, so according to the Sun, Mary and Vernon Jerry Blair were sitting in their car looking out over the Pascagoula River on the opposite bank from Parker and Hickson. So if you watch one of the documentaries, you can see this. They interview these guys. I believe these guys, like, you can see, like, their vantage point from it. When they saw strange blue lights circling around the area. Mary Blair said, I thought it was an aeroplane because the bright lights flashing. It just kept going back and forth across the sky. I told my husband there was something wrong with the plane. It's like he doesn't know where he wants to go.
Okay. Didn't know where to land.
Yeah. A couple allegedly watched the lights for approximately 40 minutes before stepping out of their car and walking down the pier towards the water. So that's the opposite side of the river.
Right.
Maria says that when she saw one of these creatures emerge from the water
Oh, that's a different story.
We started walking down the pier, and something came up out of the water. It was like a person, but not. I told Jerry, there's somebody out there. They came up out of the water, and they went back down. So I'm standing there waiting for this person and the water to ripple out. Jerry said, come on, there's nobody in the water. I know what I saw. I walked down to the boat, and it was about 11:30 p.m. to midnight before I came back down to the pier. I was by myself. I ran back to the car. The impetus from the Blairs coming forward, apparently as recently published the book, Pascal of the Close Encounter, by Calvin Parker, the younger of the two.
Yep.
It's a good read. Lately we've been having a lot of really good books, come out. A lot of really good books in, like, stories we've been doing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So keep checking them out. So anyways, so Calvin Parker, who previously remained largely hidden from the media attention since the incident. Calvin did not talk about a lot of stuff, and we'll get to why. Calvin Parker met with Maria and Vernon the Wednesday, the first time they had said they felt an intimate connection to the couple. It was a very emotional meeting from the beginning. It started out as both of us tearing up and automatically bonding. I felt like I had known them for years. I started off with telling me what they had saw on the abduction of October 11, 1973, but didn't know who was involved until the following day.
Okay.
So, yeah, they just said, they were the other side of the abduction phenomenon.
Yeah.
Miss Blair then set out on the quest to find me so she could see if I was okay. But she had no luck because I was in hiding from the media attention. Her husband told her she would be a fool for coming forward and that everyone would make her out as being crazy. So she kept this to herself, telling me that she would think about it every night and worried about me dearly. Worried about both the abductees.
Right, yeah.
But he's the only one alive at this point. She's just like me. She had secrets that haunt us for the rest of our lives. Thank God I wrote this book and it helped us come together. Although we had just met, it had been like we've been connected for over 45 years. And it's a weird case. The aliens are weird. The witness testimonies are weird. There are weird holes in the description of events. And everyone involved is weirdly earnest. So witness testimony is never proof of anything, but it is yet another layer for the strange encounter and paranormal. So yeah, that's one thing. I have one more thing after this, and then, we have a lot to discuss.
A lot.
But we're going to talk about Calvin Parker's reveals his dire visions and warnings.
So that's like a whole other...
Yeah, so let's go back. What do you think about this extra couple stepping out decades later?
I think it's a good thing that they did.
Do you think it's...
Are you asking if I think they're...
Some people think it's scrupulous. Like that. So Calvin had just released his book.
Oh, that they're doing it just to be...
The only way they contacted him was through his book.
Yeah.
They did live in the area at the time. They did go down there and do these walks at night often.
Yeah.
It was just something they did as a couple.
Yeah.
And they were, I believe at the time, they were newly married when it was happening. So it was just something they did. I'm assuming they were necking.
Ah, gotcha.
That young couple.
Yeah.
Because it's
frowned upon.
Yeah, apparently it was a spot known for that.
Mm.
And, just whatever. They were having fun.
Neck of the woods.
That neck of the woods.
Yeah.
There's lots of evidence to suggest that they could have easily been in the area. They've seen weird stuff. But at this, decades later, Parker had just released his book. So all the details were out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe she didn't know, though. I don't know.
They didn't know where he went. I mean, Calvin himself said that made sense.
Right.
I left.
Yeah.
They hounded him.
And she probably, it's hard to find him. You probably aren't going to look a couple times before you're like, all right, I'm not going
to
stop.
And her husband really didn't want her to come forward.
Yeah, exactly. So I could see it. I don't think it's, I would like scrupulous. To believe that. I believe them. That if you watch the truth.
Everybody watch a documentary for yourself. There's several of them out there, but there's one specifically with this couple that came forward and talked about it.
Yeah.
I believe them.
What if, here's my theory about what, after hearing all that now.
Wait, don't give me your theory until we get to the visions.
Okay.
Because I want you to get the whole story.
Right.
As a person that's never really dove into the Pascagoula incident.
All right. Well, I hope it didn't change my thoughts.
Do you really want to tell him now?
Kinda.
You know what? I think your main thought I can see it. I can sense it.
Yeah, I'm hungry for the answers.
It's about Bigfoot breath.
Suey! I got me this hot, fresh squonk steak, but man, it tastes bad. Jay, you got anything to fix this up?
I think you need some season on that squonk fixer up.
Well, what do you got?
How about you try this right here? It's called Bigfoot breath. Raw garlic seasoning made from fresh garlic.
Give me that. That's sure. Well, it did make it taste a lot better. Jeez.
Brought that squonk right alive, didn't it?
You know, I'm going to have to kill more squonks to use more of this seasoning.
Oh, how about you try this instead? How about you try my spicy garlic seasoning?
Oh, give it here. Suey! That's good stuff.
Spicy, but not too spicy.
That's perfect. Where can you get these delicacies?
Oh, you can find these on flavorsforest.com. This is our newest spice that just been created, and it's from Flavors of the Forest.
Make sure you all get some at the links down below. We'll catch you. Suey!
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over the 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we're back.
Starving now.
So the famous J-Master, Clone Master, has told me he really does want to share his thoughts I get into the dire visions.
Okay, so what happened was these two dudes are down there fishing, just happening in the wrong place, wrong time. And there was a wild, either lab-grown Bigfoot-type creature that had escaped. And they just happened to be in the area that it escaped from. And these people across this river saw it. That's what popped up out of the river, this red river creature, that this UFO thing now is tasked to come in and retrieve it. And they're looking for it. That's why I was scooping around the sky looking for this creature in the river, but it's hiding underwater because their scanners can't go underwater, and it knows that. So it's hiding under the water. So now these guys are fishing. They're like, well, surely they've seen it. So they scoop in, like, trying to read their minds, but the one dude passes out, and they're like, ugh, they panic. Like, just pull him on the ship. Pull him on the ship. Pulled him on the ship. They like, now they got their scanner reading his body. See, and every cell in his body has seen this Bigfoot thing. They're like, nope. And they just toss him out, you know, throw him back outside.
Like releasing fish.
Yep. And then
they measured him, and he wasn't big enough to keep.
The whole time.
It's like the fishing.
See, they were searching for this creature. They never saw it.
One thing to their credit, Maria and Vernon.
Yeah.
The creature did not look like their creature either.
Right. It was something different.
Yeah.
See, I think they were on the retrivial of something. And I'm those guys saying, just happened to be in the way.
You
know,
they were going
to
be fully faking it or whatever. You could say whatever. I don't believe everything we read. But, you know, why wouldn't they make it the same creature?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Why wouldn't they be like, well, because he drew a picture of it in the book. Like, they were very evident what they looked like.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were very distinct, too. So if you wanted to say that you've seen it, you could make it look very similar.
Right, exactly, yeah.
All right. You ready for just this weird... This is... probably the weirdest part of this whole thing.
Right, okay.
The Pascagoula alien abductee, Calvin Parker, reveals dire visions and warnings. So the incident, you know, became the best known and most researched alien abduction for a long period of time. Calvin Parker, who was 19 in 1973, has revealed something new. He has been experiencing visions since the alleged abduction and is now fearful because some of the visions have coming true.
Okay.
So he had visions since, you know, since the beginning.
Ever since he got abducted.
He had visions in the craft, and he had visions after the encounter, and he keeps having visions, and now they're starting to come true, according to him.
Okay.
My time here on Earth is almost over. Having a lot of health problems, I would not want to leave here knowing that there could be something I could do to help somebody. So I will tell you what I was shown that day on board the UFO, and I will try to go into as much detail as I can remember. There is a plague going on now, and of course there always has been. Some kind of plague since the beginning of time. But from what I've seen, this one's going to get even worse. So an interview he did with The Mirror, Parker, now 68 years old, says he had a near-death experience during the abduction, which has affected his life ever since. Or sorry, his health ever since. Charles Hickson was always on the more revealing witness who died in 2011. Well, Parker never really opened up until his book, Pascagoula, The Coast Encounter, My Story. It's a great book. Was published in 2018. Parker's first revelation to The Mirror about this massive plague. It is easy to assume that he equated it to the current, you know, this was written about 2 years ago, the current COVID-19 pandemic, and referring to the killing of millions, families against families, friends against friends, and not trusting anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe the killing of millions. You know, that's a whole different show with COVID involving
the
C word, but involving COVID. But millions of people did die during that time
mm-hmm.
from different things.
Mm-hmm.
And friends, families against families. We had it in our family. We had friends against friends. Like, literally, your opinions on all this stuff caused a divide.
Yep, everyone was turned against everybody else.
So was the plague really that, or was it the plague of the mind, where it was that... you know, that deception put into the people.
May have been both.
So, continue. Then there is going to be a great war that one side blames the other. In my vision, I have seen people's skin melt off their bodies. I don't know if it's a nuclear war or not, but it puts nations against nations. There will not be a nation on Earth that will be untouched by this war. Parker's second vision of the great war comes on the heels of the escalation of the border conflict between Russia and Ukraine. He predicts food shortages, crop failures, water supplies being cut off as a result of the war. Both of these were caused by humans, and God is to teach us the lesson and stay out of it before he steps back in.
Yeah. And he's not wrong. I mean, Ukraine was started by human actions.
Water was a big driver. Like the takeover of that canal, why Russia wanted the Ukraine, is because they could control one of the biggest shipping canals in the world.
Okay.
That was on the other side of the Ukraine, because they could build a blockade, essentially. They could control a lot. I mean, there's tons, you know, with the oil and crops.
It's just tons of stuff.
And also, do you know, most of the UK's crops come from the Ukraine.
Oh, the Ukraine?
Really? Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
But I never thought that.
Well, because the UK, like, think about the UK, it doesn't have a lot of farmland anymore. Right, and the farmland they do have is being worked extremely hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's I'm just toast. Saying. So the last comment may be the sign of what might really be to come on Calvin Parker's mind, his own mortality. Due to the cancer in his abduction events, he has a frustration with the current U.S. political. My personal opinion is that politicians are a bunch of idiots that look over what is best for our planet and the entire human race, which is accurate.
Yeah, I don't think they actually... Wait, he's saying they're a bunch of idiots that look over
it? Not.
Oh, that do not look
I'm
over.
Sorry, that overlook what is best for
there
the planet.
There you go. Okay, yeah, yeah. A bunch of idiots that are put in place that don't even know or care about what their actual role is to protect and serve us.
So while he says these visions came from his abduction, Parker makes a U-turn and doesn't call them inevitable events, though. Instead, he says humanity will change for the better and begin to heal, slowly but surely. What happens to the plague in the war? He presents their visions they're either as a curse, as what he's given through that ruined his life, or as a message he's supposed to reveal to help save our planet, mankind. He doesn't know himself.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know if this is just something that, you know, is cursed upon him, that he's seeing a forced future.
Right.
Or if he's given this stuff to share to everybody to help steer the course away from these events.
Right, yeah.
He doesn't know himself.
Okay.
And, yeah. So that's the visions. And then he goes into more in depth with the visions and stuff like that. And there's just all kinds of crazy stuff with this encounter.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, it's just craziness. So... I got my stuff. First, what are your thoughts?
Okay.
Let's go all the way back to the original abduction.
Where are we starting here?
Okay. So, you know, these two guys, they knew each other from work. They're going fishing, you know, a famous, you know, a spot. They kind of were not supposed to be there, but it was an abandoned place. You know, they weren't the only ones fishing from what I've heard Hickson talk about. You know, there was empty beer bottles all over the place. And I think that was the big thing he was kind of worried about with the cops, is to think that they were down there sloshed.
Oh, gotcha.
But
yeah.
There was tons of empty beer bottles from, you know, various other visitors.
Right, it's not just him.
Yeah. And then they see these beings. And we'll talk. What do you think about that first little stitch? They hear the zapping, this buzzing noise.
What do you mean? I don't remember that part.
Oh, my gosh.
The buzzing, zapping from when they were fishing?
Yeah, they heard a noise.
Like up above. Yeah, by their cars. Yes. Sorry. I guess I was following a different.
A zipping sound was the best way he could describe it.
I was in a different part of the story in my head. But
almost like electricity.
Yeah, and it sounds like...
Everybody's been around high-tension power lines and stuff like that. They make noise. They're scary.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I don't like fishing near them and stuff like that.
I mean, it's hard saying it could be what it actually could be, but if it's like the sound of their craft or whatever, landing or, you know, making its descent or
was it to get their attention?
Or just that.
So there's a whole lot with these alien abduction encounters about eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about some possibilities. And eye contact is very important for several of these possibilities.
Yeah.
So was it this noise? And there's other entities and weird, strange thing from the giants of, like, the Moors of Ireland and stuff like that, that you have to see them.
Yeah.
There's something you have to look. So if you don't look at them, they can't interact with you.
Oh, okay.
So what do you think? I don't know. So
I mean, I don't know either. But we talked about with Daryl Sims, how he talks about how alien abductions, you know, they kind of put you in a trance, and that's how they subdue you, like you're paralyzed.
Yeah, so...
But you don't even remember things. And the fact that one person was able to witness kind of his buddy or the kid, the older guy witnessed the younger guy, right?
Yeah, but he forgot a lot of the examination.
Right. But he saw me, like, passed out. It was just kind of like, that reminded me of the trance state. Like, they're just in, and they were just pulled in. Like, not even under their own control.
Yeah, yeah.
So that kind of adds up to it.
Very similar. I mean, that's all over the abduction board.
Right, yeah.
What do you think of these beings?
These are odd ones, aren't they?
These are, I'm famous for saying that the only way I would believe in true extraterrestrials, and I mean from another planet,
is if
they have to be so biologically funky.
Different. Yeah.
And these are still kind of humanoid. You know, they have a general human-ish, like a very rough
arms and two legs,
a very
and a head.
Rough human shape.
Yeah,
but still, they have these things, the protrusions. They don't have a neck. Their arms, so their legs didn't have joints. It appeared they were like almost big, thick pillars.
But they just floated.
And they had, but they had two big, long claw toes on it. And their arms had an extra joint, and these big, long claw. So they're very, you said it yourself, insectoid.
Yeah,
but they're also very. Like their skin is rubber. Like the best way to describe, they don't remember touching them. The best I can describe it is thick rubber with elephant skin texture.
I wonder if some of these things are beings or just created. but it's just a whole bunch of DNA from different animals spliced together.
And that's what they say about like just some make, of the grays.
Just to make a vessel.
That. Yeah, that they're just working drones and they just pick things. And,
yeah, just to make them function.
Yeah.
However that works, I don't know.
Well, thick, think about it. It could be thick skin for radioactive environments, or it could be even a spacesuit.
It could be that too,
that we don't recognize a certain type of technology. Maybe like actual living tissue that goes over your body. Why some parts of the body looks... Think about an astronaut spacesuit, like a human spacesuit.
Yeah.
The head, the torso, and the legs are super thick, and the thinnest part's the arms.
Right, yeah.
Because you need to manipulate stuff.
Gotta move around.
So what if that's the same thing? The head, the torso, and the legs are super thick, not moving on this thing, and the arms move around.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense.
I'm just you know...
It's a way to... Yeah, it makes... That adds up.
They could also be living things. Because they had a hard time of describing it as alive but not alive, the robot-like. What do we talk about with silicon-based life forms?
Right.
They'd be so foreign to us, we'd have trouble recognizing them as being alive.
Right, yeah.
So what if, I'm just, you know, just putting that out there, that these are funky. Ooh. Both guys passed many lie detector tests. They passed the interviews on the cops. That, to me, I guess, I think sold it the most. Before I was really, really into this stuff, I heard about this and watched this, and I was like, okay, these are goofy things. These are goofy, Hollywood, cheesy, like 1940s monsters made out of corrugated pipe.
Right, yeah.
And then you hear them talk to the cops. Like, want to talk to each other, and the cops... like,
especially having that hidden recording.
They didn't know it was there. I want to make that very clear.
Yeah.
They had no idea they were being recorded, and that's why I think they didn't... One of the reasons, if you want to be non-conspiratorial, why it didn't get released for a long time, the cops recorded these guys illegally.
Yeah, makes sense.
So the cops,
lawsuit on their hands. We'll wait till the statute of limitations passed and oops, found this, guys.
So that's the non-conspiratorial reason maybe the tape turned up so much later.
That makes sense.
Because they did this fully illegally. The sheriff did it fully illegally.
At least you know.
Yeah, but you know, he did spoke up for their credit even though he didn't release the tape.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, no, these guys, you know, basically freaked out the second we weren't in the room with them. They believe... You know, and you could say anything. Polygraphs aren't used in court anymore because they're faulty. Yeah,
right.
And then the hypnosis, I do not trust. I never trust.
Doing like a what's it called? What's it called?
Bringing the memories back. Yeah. Hypnosis.
Regressive.
Regressive hypnosis.
Yeah.
I do not trust it. Not to say there's no merit to it.
Right.
But you can highly change things. As in, the person doing the hypnosis can mess with the eyewitnesses. You can lead the witness.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, really plant memories.
That's not fair for a court of law.
So, yeah. So, what do you think about the beings?
They're very odd and insectoid, maybe, but I like
that word, insectoid.
Is that a real word?
No.
Insectoid.
I think it is a crypt of the corn word. That's a t-shirt.
I'm an insectoid. I don't really know where it came from, but insectoid, there we go.
That's I like insectoid.
Insectoid, we'll do it with that. But they're that, like I said, I wonder if, how do bugs' brains differ from like mammals?
Oh, very. I mean, their nerve systems and everything are, they have a brain, it's just very different.
Do you think it's something that could be easily like, okay, so a human brain is very obviously, right, most complex, understandable thing on the universe, you know, one of them, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Then you got like a normal mammal brain, still pretty complicated, I'm sure. But as compared to a bug brain, is that more like something you can...
Different, right?
Easier to program, maybe?
They're much more robotic, especially hive mind insects. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe that's why some of these things look weird. If they are being created or hatched, cloned, grown, whatever, they use like the bug, you know, nervous genotype system. Yeah, to and then program their thoughts and very much program that way. Like, sure, a whole colony of bees are smart because they're doing this whatever task they need to do
about
really
that
well.
Be a really good worker if you. Yeah. I mean, a quote unquote programmable
bug brain.
Like, and insects are incredibly strong, resilient.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it could very well be.
That's why Klaus Schwab wants you to eat the bugs.
He
becomes a bug. And then
he wants you to eat 3D printed meat.
We will control the bugs.
Nobody eat 3D printed meat. Bugs are fine to eat.
I agree with you to an extent.
Yes. Yeah, being forced to eat bugs is the problem.
Yes.
Wrong podcast.
Yes. Okay, but anyways.
Big
bugs.
Odd.
These guys are big bug creatures.
Now, what do you think about the other set of eyewitnesses getting involved?
I want to believe them. Just to, it adds a more nuance to the story. I'm hoping it's not just a cash grab opportunity, but at the same time, what are you gaining from this? You're not really gaining anything by coming out and saying it. What, you put your name in a book? How much money does that earn you?
Well, they didn't even get their name in his book. They didn't find him until Calvin published his book.
Yeah.
It's how they found him.
Right, yeah.
They made it into a documentary.
There you go, into a documentary.
And I don't think they made any money off the documentary. Most of the documentaries do not make, you do not get paid.
Now watch that. They're like some famous YouTubers now, like that influencers.
I doubt it.
They changed their name. They just use this as springboard, their YouTube channel.
There you go. Now that could be. I did not look into that.
Yeah, I don't
so
think,
hardcore.
No, I'm going to guess that didn't happen.
A couple that was recently married in 1973.
Right, yeah.
Just really got into becoming this YouTube star. Yeah,
honey, this is it. This is our in.
What do you think about his visions?
So that I'm wondering, too, just with like contact of these things.
I had a lot of trouble pinpointing dates he'd have these visions if he had written them down and then stuff happened.
Yeah.
Or if it was just him saying that.
Yeah.
Not saying he's lying or not truthful in those things. But is it retroactive? Like, how hardcore are you having these visions of war? Like, there's been a war for the human race since day one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so saying that there's going to be a war is like saying it's going to rain.
Pretty broad, yeah. It's a vague thing.
But the COVID and this great plague he's talking about, is that, you know, I don't know his actual writings and how soon before, you know, I don't know.
Right.
So I don't have a lot of validity. I don't have a lot of proof.
And did these things he already had seen, maybe they already had happened, you know, what if, you know, a lot of people died in, like, Vietnam, a lot of people died in, whatever happened, I'm trying, 1973, so after that.
Well, Vietnam was before.
Was it before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, 68 to 71, right?
Oh, okay, so right before. I'm sure a lot of people have died since the 70s.
I may be off on those dates, but
either way,
it was right at the turn of the 60s and the 70s was Vietnam.
Anyway, a lot of people were dying. A lot of people are still dying. And even, like he said, Ukraine now, or even with Israel and Gaza, there's a lot of people dying there, too. We kill a lot of people, you know, from Afghanistan to...
you mean the U.S. government?
We as our country, our U.S. government, our military. Or just we as
humans?
Human beings.
Humans kill a lot of humans.
Yes.
Humans are the number one killer of humans.
100%, yep. I heard a joke, but I cannot say it on this show, so I will save it for after. So it's just about to blurt it out.
It's hard sometimes.
Yeah, I know, especially with human beings. Like, it's bad.
Especially because we're sitting in a public lobby.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. As far as war and stuff like that, I mean, those visions might just be a byproduct of being exposed to these things. Whatever that scanning machine that he can remember, whatever, a scanner, that's what we're calling it.
But it was an odd piece of technology.
Yes.
They were having a lot of trouble, right? So they were at a loss for words of the things they were seeing.
Mm-hmm. And it just might be technology we don't understand.
And Hickson died before, you know, he really got the chance for him and Calvin to publicly talk together.
Right, exactly.
Because Calvin did not talk until after Hickson was dead.
That would have been a cool conference.
And he always regretted that.
Yeah.
And I believe Calvin's dead now, too.
I think so, right?
Yeah, because he died of cancer. Yeah, so they're both dead. And the only reason we have Parker's stuff
because of the book.
Is because of this book right before he died.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got some, I really think it happened, but what happened, right? That's where we get down to. So I got a whole list.
Okay.
Of what happened. Why did it happen?
Yeah.
What caused this to happen?
All right, I'm ready.
All right. Number one, they are lying to make money.
Yep, that's it. All right, turn this off.
All right, have a good episode. I've been the great and powerful mystery. No, I see that every UFO thing. Everyone we do. That's somebody. I don't care if it's a local sheriff.
I guess it always has to be on the list. Huh. Oh, yeah. It has to be. It always has to be on the list. It's got to be an option. You can't rule that one out ever just because. But even though...
I don't know of a case that's ever happened.
That's the thing. I was just going to say, I can't think of one either, but I guess...
I'm sure there's one. I'm sure... I think I did talk about one where somebody did make money. Now I cannot remember.
Okay.
No, I think it was a ghost one. Never mind. Ghost ones make money because they can sell the house to... people that really want to buy haunted stuff.
There you go, yeah. Anything paranormal, you got to have that angle.
Yeah, no, it's like one in a million that anybody ever makes any money, and they just absolutely ruin their life like it did to these two guys.
Right.
It literally, Calvin Parker hid for decades.
Until he was diagnosed with terminal cancer and wrote a book.
Yeah. And he wrote a book, right, like you said, and he was diagnosed with cancer and wrote a book. Like, he wasn't expecting to see any money from that. That was not the goal of the book.
Right.
Because
the goal is to get...
The checks were probably coming after.
Yeah, right. Post-mortem.
Yeah. So, and then Hickson never made any money as far as I know. I think he did do some talks and stuff. Like, so, you know, making a couple hundred bucks here and there kind of deal.
But nothing to live.
I think people
off
really
of.
Misunderstand the amount of money like people, these guys get paid to come out and talk about their experiences and stuff like
it's
that.
It's not much.
It's
not much at all.
Yeah. As far as talking about the kind of money that to make this up and keep this lie going and stuff.
To live your life off it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ain't happening.
You don't do that stuff.
No, not at all.
Next one. So, no, they didn't lie
to
make money.
Yeah, we're rolling
that one out. And, you know, they both needed money. They both had different things. I've seen different documentaries and them different talks. They both had a lot of struggles in their life before and after this.
Right, yeah.
So, money could have been muchly appreciated.
How much fishing gear they needed to buy still? It's never ending.
Here's one I seen pushed. They were high slash drunk and imagined this thing together. So that's how they passed the lie detector test, and that's why they are so they believe it. But they were high off their head or drunk or in a skunk. Listen, as a guy that was for a period of his life known as a professional drinker, I've never been that intoxicated and seen things like that.
Yeah, not like that.
I think I miss seeing things.
I misinterpret things.
Not a whole crab monster coming out of a UFO to abduct me and my buddy.
Oh, yeah.
And people that, you know, I've had a lot of friends. I've never done drugs, but I've had a lot of friends that have tried all kinds of things. And I don't think they've ever had this much of an, you know, an imagination.
Be on quite an experience.
And then to have it together and to pass lie detector tests and them to be so freaked out that, remember, they went right to the sheriff's station.
Right.
They did not get arrested for drinking. They did not get arrested for being drunk.
PCP or something.
And this is 1973.
Bath salts. Was that a thing back then?
I'm sure, but not like to the level it was in like the 2000s.
What's that? Crocodile?
Crocodile, yeah.
Yeah, they're both on Crocodile.
Yeah, you could tell when somebody's on Crocodile because they're bleeding from everything.
Oh, yeah.
Crocodiles is just poison. Anyways, so, but I seen that being pushed on some of the pages talking about this encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't get, like, we talk about with the Suttons, and I keep going back to the Hopkinsville's, you know, the season five opener, because they're so important to stuff like this, as a case file, to really look back and seeing that people that don't know a lot about these cases and how they really just use anything to attack these people.
Right.
They were drunk. They were high, not knowing anything about them.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And to say these things, I don't know. I've seen it, so I put it on there like I do with everything. If somebody says it, you know, we'll talk about it. Do you think they were high or drunk?
I'm going to say no.
I don't. I mean, to be that high or that drunk and then going to the police station immediately after,
and then
the cops
remember,
would notice, right?
Right, to remember all that stuff had happened.
To drink enough to imagine that.
Yeah.
And then you go to this police station, they would know. You would smell like a brewery.
Normally you pass out before you drink that much. So I can't imagine drinking that much to imagine something like that.
Well, I passed out and kept walking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Mentally, you don't remember these
things. I've checked out and ended up in the wrong part of town.
Ooh, that's not
bad. I mean, not in a bad part of town, as in I was trying to walk home and
walk the wrong way.
I told you that story where I ended up at Taco Bell.
Fell asleep on the bench and slept there all night.
Yep.
Happens to the best of us.
When you're 300 pounds, you know, it helps that nobody can abduct you.
That's true.
It takes a crew.
Trust me, they tried.
All right. Here's my next one. I think that, I don't know if you thought about this one a lot for this thing, but I think a lot for this one. Government experiments.
Yeah. Think about this.
I mean, for this particular case.
Oh, the only angle I can think of it as being government experiment would be, like I said, there was an unknown creature out there. This was the task force that was in charge of retrieving it and maybe mind wiping the witnesses that could have
saw
it. I think
this was all as in fake, as in, I think it could be all fake, as in the Calvin and Harrison really had these experiences. I think they might have been men in suits. I think that they might have done, because we talked about these experiments, but they were literally disguising helicopters.
Right.
As craft.
Yeah.
They were doing all this stuff. And I don't know if they found, if they were watching these abandoned areas to really just to test these tactics to see how much they could get away with and how much they can convince somebody. And just the way the creatures were, the way they moved, they didn't move a whole lot.
And they hovered.
They hovered.
Yeah.
But their arms barely moved. I don't know if it was paralysis gas was the big thing. Or a nerve agent that they were using.
Or just simply hypnosis like that. You know, we know they have access to.
This is my, in my head, this is my second most likely thing that happened.
Yeah.
in my head that this was a government experiment, that they were wearing suits, then that's why the aliens were so rubbery and so freaky looking and vaguely humanoid, because there was a guy inside the suit like R2-D2.
So you don't think, you think they possibly couldn't have been, or might not have been actual aliens?
I think they were just my second most likely thing is that they, this was the government experiment on two guys they thought were perfectly alone.
Yeah.
And that Maria and Vernon across the river were bystanders. It's a big river. The Pascagoula River is a big river.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like the Ohio River.
Okay,
you know,
it's pretty wide.
Anybody's been, it's pretty wide. So it's not like they could see Calvin and Parker standing over there.
Right, yeah, especially at night.
I think I said the same guy twice.
Calvin and Parker.
Yeah, because Calvin and Harrison.
Okay.
Or Hickson. Hickson, oh my gosh.
There we go.
Calvin and Hickson. But they could see the lights and they could see stuff moving and they seen something in the water. Was that a scuba diver that was making sure there was nothing getting near the insertion point of messing with these two guys for a half hour?
Okay.
And the scuba divers came just to scare this lady off?
Okay.
Was, I mean, the government has tested on American civilians more than anybody has ever realized. Literally, the stuff they've admitted to is asinine.
Right. And that's what they've admitted to.
So imagine what they haven't.
Yeah, it can't. I'm afraid to.
Yeah, so I mean, literally,
oh, no, I'm not afraid.
Go to DW, Conspiracy Shack, and listen to the government wouldn't do that, would they?
Right, yeah.
It's a crazy episode about just that. This, what the government
has
will,
done.
Will do to you.
Yes.
They will do to you.
And publicly announce.
Yes.
After the fact. Like, I mean, they'll admit the, to. They'll own up to it.
What was the one where they... I'm drawing a blank now. It was the black people they specifically chose because they were black.
Yeah, and they...
The Tuskegee experiments.
They affected them with...
And they never told them. They let these people rot and die.
What was it?
Tuskegee experiments.
Was it syphilis they were...
It was all... I think it was
gonorrhea.
Syphilis. It was one of these treatable diseases.
Yeah.
It, that's the thing is...
It was treatable.
Treatable disease that they gave them, never told them, and only the only thing they ever got was paid for their funeral cost.
Yeah. So messed up.
So, yeah. So that's what... I can't really explain it why I really get a government feel for this, but how the guys were tortured and how they were just released and given this weird
story,
peace talk, yeah, mumbo jumbo at the end that a lot of aliens from the 70s, specifically this era from the 70s of alien abductions, gave this weird mumbo jumbo peace talk, this very
which
thing to, I'm not saying I think peace is very important, obviously.
100%.
But if you're this powerful being that you traveled across the stars, you do it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
What, are these two steel workers from Pascagoula, Mississippi, are supposed to go tell the world that, you know, don't kill each other?
Yeah.
Go tell the president.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get that, you know, we've talked about in previous episodes that where maybe they have tried to tell those people and the government refuses to do anything about it.
Right, yeah.
You know, but why just two guys in the middle of nowhere, Mississippi, in the middle of the night, and you freak them out and release them, and they're so scarred by the encounter. The one guy didn't talk about it for four decades.
4 years, yeah. It's kind of coincides, too, with the 60s and, you know, 70s, the hippie movement, you know, where it was peace and all that, you know, being pushed a lot, which is not necessarily, I'm not saying a bad thing at all. I'm very highly promoting of peace, obviously. But it can also, what's the word I'm trying to reach for? Not subdue people, but, you know, make them not even weaker, but just like softer, you know, want to promote peace to where they're not going to actually stand up and, you know, fight, you know, against what's wrong. You know what I mean? So, you know, now after you get abducted and you have this stuff all done to you, you're violated basically, and then you pop out the other end. They're like, oh, no, we're all peace and we're not.
We meant you no harm. Sorry we violated your bodies.
And then you're like, oh, okay, well, then that's fine. I mean, maybe just put that thing that probed me in, but he means peace, so it's fine. Move on.
I just kind of wonder if that's a moniker for government researchers to know which ones to ignore.
Mm.
Is it, if the eyewitnesses talk about, at the end, they gave us this peace talk, like, okay, that's one of our boys did this abduction.
Ah, so just like a, yeah, I gotcha.
Like it's a signature to leave in where nobody has to admit to anything.
Uh-huh, yeah. It's that spans across a lot of different... quote-unquote aliens and their messages, you know, especially sending out prophecies, promoting peace and love and
which
stuff
is
like
great,
that, which is great, but it also, like,
why
I said,
are you just telling this guy and these two guys in Pascagoula, Mississippi on the river, and then you throw them out and they're so freaked out?
Exactly, yeah.
They don't leave, and if you're so powerful, just put a projector screen in Times Square one day. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just take park your craft.
That's because these things are not aliens from other planets
Let's talk about that. Okay. That's my next one.
Okay.
They're actual aliens or interdimensional beings. And they fit a lot of my criteria I talk about for believing an actual alien. Is that they are so biologically freaky or different. You know, they still got a humanoid-ish shape.
Yeah.
Like, classic, if you're looking at, like, Star Trek or something, they still would be considered a humanoid. But they're very weird. They have a lot of biology, quote-unquote, that doesn't make sense as far as us looking at them.
Different
than ours. Knobs on their head. They said maybe a mouth. They weren't really sure what this thing was.
Uh-huh.
If they had eyes, they couldn't see them from the thick wrinkles, these crab claws. Right. You know, these mix of mammalian traits and crustacean, you know,
the and horns insectoids. And the nubs
or what'd you say?
Insectoids.
Insectoid traits.
Yeah. Insectoidal traits.
Insectoidal traits. I got to get a shirt that says that.
Yes.
So I don't know. Or interdimensional. And that's always another thing was the zap, this buzzing sound.
Them popping in.
Yeah. And how many times have we talked about with portals and stuff? Either have it's the loud metal slam.
Yeah.
Or this buzz zap, like ozone burning, like an ozone burner.
An electromagnetic sparkle.
So what if they just phased in? And that was what happened. So if they're interdimensional, that could explain the weirdness of them. That could also explain, we talk about these portal areas around these interdimensional doors opening up, and stuff comes in and out from both sides. So the couple across the river encountered a different creature that was like a byproduct of them opening and closing this door.
Maybe they were the light beings, and then the thing in the river was the shadow beings. From the shadow realm.
I don't think anybody was good.
Oh, okay.
But no, just like how we talk about, other weird phenomena happens to coincide together, and it seems to be around these portals.
Right, yep.
It's just as another thing, like a river creature from over there, and it's like,
he just popped up through too. He just popped up, seen that light on the hill, and was so, like, nope, went right back
this
down.
This is my third most likely in my head.
Okay.
What do you think?
But just being aliens or just actual
things from not here.
Or, yeah, there
living
you go.
Creatures in a way that aren't from here. And they could be robots. They could be drones.
From other...
Yeah.
Other creatures. If anything, I still lean towards the interdimensional thing. I don't think...
Over the government, or do you think the government's more likely?
Gosh.
Give us an old J percentage.
Can it be both? Okay. Well, all right. I'll just try to be fair here. Maybe 50% could be the government. Maybe 50% it could be an intermission.
Well, in typical Mr. E fashion, I saved the real answer for last.
Right. That's what you got
to
do.
If anybody, I've done it a couple times where I haven't, where I put it the second to last or something like that.
Sneak it by.
But no, typical Mr. E fashion, the real answer is last.
What is it?
You have no guess? We've been doing this for almost 3 years.
It is a interdimensional rhino hybrid.
So close.
Yeah, okay.
The Fae.
Just the Fae? Just straight up the Fae.
Now, I want to talk about this. The craft appeared. The two guys alone, shipyard, this degraded area, this abandoned place. The communications between, made no sense. It was, their biology was super freaky.
Okay.
The ship that made no sense. It was this weird shape that really wasn't described again. Later on, it started being drawn as more of a saucer shape, but the original thing was like this really weird shape.
Egg football kind of oblong thing.
With two portholes off the side. There was a creature that it seemed like it was put on a show. These aliens, I don't know, to me, it just are so weird. And they gave you that typical message at the end that was like an info dump, like this psychic tap.
Mm-hmm.
And it screwed with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like it was a thing pretending to be good that wasn't. Because these guys literally had horrible lives after. Forever.
Right.
They both had long-term health things. I didn't really include a lot in. But since this, and how many times did we talk about, now I'm forgetting it. The Hills had long-term health problems. I mean, Barney died, I think it was 18 months or something after the thing.
Right, yeah.
So... It just seems really freaky. And the Fae, I think, are putting on these masks and these entities. Like, I've seen people connecting these entities to ancient, depictions of creatures.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Their shape, their unique shape has been, on cave, not cave paintings, but on illustrations.
Right,
illustrations and stuff like that. So to me, I get these old Earth entities. But I don't know.
I'm trying to look up exactly where Pascagoula is in Mississippi. Because I know there's a lot of... There's a lot of really cool and old, ruins in Mississippi that are just odd and, out of place, it seems like. I just want to see where, if Pascagoula kind of fell in those areas. But my phone's being all nuts, and it won't even open it up because it's just constantly trying to open up a map app that I don't have.
So that's I'm going to the Fae.
So okay. I'm going to go. I think it's not. I'm going to go more towards
government.
Huh?
I'm Fae or government.
Government. I'm going to go government or interdimensional being, which I think it has some ties to our government or some connection
oh,
with
sure.
our government somehow. But I think it's like that interdimensional being, creatures, aliens, drones, whatever, sent here to, for some reason, not from space.
I don't know why I think the government. I just, whatever some reason about this story just screams to me like some kind of experiment.
Trust your gut.
That they, and I don't know if, like I said, I don't know if the peace talk stuff at the end is just like a signature. So like the Air Force or whoever's running these experiments knows like these are the ones to avoid.
This is your calling card.
Well, we talked about Daryl. You know, Daryl came on the show and talked about how the government's mimicking these experiments.
Same thing,
That these aliens or interdimensional beings are doing.
Yeah.
So what if this is an abduction, a mimic?
Attempt, yeah.
Just to see what, if any aliens came by.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
Or even the other way around, what if it was a real one and then they're trying, and this is one they learned from? It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like,
who knows?
Yeah.
Anything could be possible.
Whoa.
You know, my Instagram messages I get with that as the tag.
Gosh.
You need to start doing the Instagram.
I've never had an Instagram in my life.
I just want you to sign into our account.
And, oh, gosh.
Because everybody sends you stuff.
I don't even know what an Instagram does.
I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I have been J Clone.
51?
58.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.